president and CEO of the Edmonton Eskimos, Len Rhodes. Len, how you doing?
Good afternoon, Jason. I'm doing great. How about you?
I'm doing excellent.
Good.
Not as good as the U of A. A huge, we talk about in the community, and I think this is a great segment because the Eskimos, you know, through 50-50s and a lot of things, you make a pretty big commitment with your partnership, shall we call, over the next 5 years at the University of Alberta football.
Very true. With our 50-50 program, 2012, we actually automated it for the first time, if you recall. So this has been year three, last year was, where we had a full automated system. And immediately when it was automated in 2012, the fan response was very positive and actually overwhelmingly positive, I could say. And the jackpots just grew. Last year alone, in 2014, we handed out $1.1 million to the winners in the stadium. And if you recall, there was a gentleman named Connor McCroken who won $348,000 at a single game. But it's called 50-50, and the other side of it, what's not taken home by the fans in the stadium, we've allocated and designated 100% of that to amateur football. So after operating costs, all the monies that remain go towards one cause, and it's all levels of amateur football. And today, we announced that we are making a five-year commitment to the University of Alberta's Golden Bears Football Club to the amount of $250,000 over the course of 5 years. And that's going to help them. It's earmarked for scholarships, because one thing that Chris Morris has expressed is if he doesn't know 1 year to the next how much money he's getting, it's very difficult for him to commit to some of the best prospects with scholarships when he has to commit for 4 or 5 years in this case, and he doesn't know 1 year to the next what he's getting. So this gives him visibility, confidence that he can use those monies, and he knows that's not going to be, the well won't go dry at the end of this year. He's got it for 5 years.
And this doesn't impact the relationship you have with the junior football teams, does it, for the 50-50?
No, not at all. Actually, they still get the bulk of the monies. That's the Huskies and the Wildcats. They originally, when it wasn't automated, they used to run the actual program. And when we automated it, it brought in more money for them, and it allowed us to then extend to the U of A, to Football Alberta for their grassroots projects, and for the Edmonton Eskimo alumni for initiatives that they do to support grassroots football with young kids. So everyone's getting more. Some people are getting some that never had some in the past, but to your question, the Huskies and the Wildcats actually had more in 2014 than they've ever had in history.
Okay, which is great, and you know, it allows for development for some of those kids, and which can in turn help you guys, because of course we've seen a lot of Huskies and Wildcats and U of A Golden Bears come through to your program later on in life.
Yeah, it's really important. When I arrived in Edmonton in 2011, one thing that was obvious to me is that there were a lot of people working in football, but not everyone was working together. And we felt that as the Eskimos, we should take a leadership position. So, yes, we support them financially. But more importantly is we got to work together. And to Ed Hervey's credit, this will be the third year where he's actually chairing a summit, football summit for Northern Alberta. All the stakeholders come together, and people are working together. Because what we realize, if we're not working together, the only people that win are the other jurisdictions and the other markets that are coming after our best prospects. And the U of A, they were victims. So were the junior teams in terms of some of the greater players being scooped by Calgary, by Vancouver, by Regina. And now this is allowing us to all work together. Everyone has more funds. We're working together so that we get the best prospects. And today, Chris Morris explained that he got someone from Calgary who's coming up the road to Edmonton, guy who, I guess, 95% average at school. He's a great athlete, and he's excited about that. These things weren't happening. So that's going to really bode well for us in the long term as a marketplace. And the home run would be have a kid start off here, play for one of the junior teams or the U of A Golden Bears, get drafted by the Eskimos, one day play here, and then retire in the community and give back. That's really the full circle perfect scenario.
President and CEO of the Eskimos, Len Rhodes, joins us. Len, this coming season for the Eskimos, you know, obviously you're hoping to build off what was a very good year, bounce back year under Chris Jones, who was just nominated for Coach of the Year.
Yes.
But you've got an exhibition game in Fort McMurray because you're out of Commonwealth for basically the first, 5 weeks of the season?
Yeah, the official schedule hasn't come out yet, but we definitely have an extensive blackout period. And to your point, when we found out about that 2 years ago, we certainly took quick action. And at the beginning, Jason, I was a bit nervous because, you know, where are you going to play football outside of Commonwealth Stadium in Edmonton? And really, the only alternate site was the U of A site, and that certainly isn't suited for the amount of fans that we get. And we were very lucky that Fort McMurray is building a new stadium. And it's actually, I was there 2 or 3 months ago with your cousins on the TV side from TSN, because TSN TV is going to be broadcasting it coast to coast. The game is on June 13th. It's called Northern Kickoff. We're going to be the host team. We're playing against Saskatchewan. It's the most northern game in CFL history, and our fans have an opportunity to make history along with us at that game.
Yeah, it's you know, unique stadium, should be a lot of fun. Now, for Eskimo season ticket holders, Len, for the regular season, your bye week, I'm assuming, is going to be earlier in the season because of that, right?
Yeah. Right? We've requested that. That's correct.
Okay, so you'll have a bye week likely in the first few weeks, and then again in week 9, 10, or 11,
yeah.
Unlike last year. And then are you expecting – would you do your Eastern road trip early in the year so you just stay out there for the full week?
Well, these are all great questions. So there's a list of variables. Back in November, I handed all our requests over to the league, and they get that from every other team. And there's a lot of components and variables that come into play. Outside of FIFA, we are very fortunate here in Edmonton because we're the primary tenant at Commonwealth Stadium. So in other markets, they have a lot of blackout periods because there may be other sports, soccer being played in their stadiums, concerts to a greater extent, whatever else goes on. We have a pretty good relationship with the city of Edmonton, and we have less blackout periods. But in terms of what we ask for, there's a number of things. We did ask for the bye week in early in the year. We asked for one as well later in the year. We did like, I know football, Ed and his team, Chris Jones, loved the back-to-back last year in the East. They stayed out there. I think it was Montreal and Ottawa that was the back-to-back, and it allowed them to really spend some time together. We've asked for the same thing, but it doesn't mean that we'll get it. We've also asked, based on Bannister research results, our fans tell us that they like Friday nights and they like Saturday at 5 o'clock in the afternoon. Those are the sweet spots. So we put a list of about 12 or 13 bullets asking for that, and we hope that it comes to fruition. But we're never guaranteed because the league has to deal with many other teams, many other variables, and everyone else has also their requests as well.
When should the schedule be coming out this year, Len? When do you expect it?
We expect it, if we're lucky, later this month at the latest, early February. I spoke to the league schedule maker yesterday. He still wasn't ready to produce one. We had seen a few drafts, but when one thing changes, then everything starts. They have to start from scratch. So typically, every other year, it's been around the same time. It would be nice down the road to be able to have the luxury of having a schedule come out earlier. But there are some challenges, and mostly when you look at Toronto, there's issues there because the Argos have to deal at Rogers Stadium, where the Blue Jays actually are the primary tenant, and that forces a lot of issues that the Argos have to face. But the Argos' issues become our issues because it's a league-wide issue, because you can't do a schedule unless all 9 teams are solidified.
Toronto is obviously a tough one, and for you guys, you have more options. Len, from a league standpoint, and you're one who deals with the commissioner, Cohan is going out.
Yes.
What are you hearing on when a new commissioner will be in place, and how important is it, do you think, to have one in place right away?
Yeah, Mark Cohan, you know, he leaves a legacy. Probably one of the best commissioners the CFL's ever had, and one of the fan favorites. It's remarkable when you compare our commissioner to what some other leagues have in terms of the reaction that they get. He was remarkable, and I give him a lot of credit for the expansion of, solidifying good ownership. He really wanted Ottawa to come back, and that was one of his legacy moves. But he wouldn't do it until he found strong owners. So that was really key. In terms of Mark actually, in effect, is done with last December. We had president's meetings with all the teams. He attended that. Those were his last official meetings. I attend governor's meetings in February. We don't anticipate to have anyone in place at that point in time, but there may be some candidates. There's a hiring committee that's in place with representation from many of the teams, and then the ultimate candidate will be chosen with the blessing of all 9 teams. They were hoping as a target that April would be the date when a new commissioner would be in place. But those are always very fluid issues because, you know, until you get the guy, you don't have the guy. And it's a two-way street in terms of looking at candidates, availability, negotiations. But in an ideal world, April, and that allows the commissioner to come in before the season starts.
Len Rhodes, president and CEO of the Eskimos, joins us. Now, Len, you mentioned the teams, you know, with their blessing. How much input, or maybe from an Eskimo standpoint, what are you guys hoping to have in the next commissioner?
You know, next commissioner, maybe if you ask 20 people, you'll get 20 different answers. But from an Eskimo perspective, stability is very important. Someone who comes in and is going to tackle some of the issues head on. Now, one issue that we all face is that the fact that we have to attract a younger demographic. Here in Edmonton, we're very lucky. We have universal appeal, and we have fans that come in that have been, you know, at Commonwealth Stadium with the Eskimos since 1978, and at Clark Field before then. And they come with their children, their grandchildren. So there's great tradition here. But so it's not an issue in Edmonton, but you got to stay at the forefront of it and make sure that you remain relevant with the younger market and do whatever they need. Some other markets is more of an issue, so I would say that's definitely one. I would like to see a 10th team added. It would be nice to have 10 teams, an equal number of teams, an even number of teams in the CFL. There's opportunities potentially in Halifax. Moncton seems to be less of a potential opportunity. Because there hasn't been anyone on the local side that's willing to step up and invest. But the mayor in Halifax has expressed an interest. Maybe Quebec City one day could be another opportunity. They've really backed their college program. So that's the two areas that I think are very strong. And he has to continue to make sure that we have sponsors that invest into the league on a national basis so that we have good brands behind us and that activate the CFL marks from coast to coast.
There's really no other Western-based city that would be able to host a CFL team, is there?
No, not at this point in time. Doesn't look like there is. It's a great question, but I think if there was expansion, one area would be the Maritimes. And again, maybe in Quebec City. You know, in hockey, we have the luxury, and in football, to have a great rivalry in Alberta with both teams. It's that used to be that way in Quebec with hockey, and rivalries really sell a lot. You know, when we have a rivalry even with our counterparts in Saskatchewan, there's nothing that beats a strong rivalry. And when that can be, that can exist in the East. They have it in Ontario, but they lack it east of Ontario, and I think that's a necessary ingredient.
Len, one final one for you. I have to ask you. Anything new on the peanut front?
And I'll answer the same way. In a nutshell, there isn't. Personally, I want peanuts, but yeah. I don't own the stadium. It's owned by the city of Edmonton. Being very respectful for some of the issues and the reasons why it was reversed before I got here and eliminated, but it has remained one of my pet projects. It won't be happening this coming year. But I hope that it does down the road. I believe we're the only stadium where we can't have peanuts in the shell. But there are, I guess, bigger issues to work on, and I've got to make sure that I collaborate with the people that support me in other areas. So we'll put that on the side right now.
Well, I'd be on board. I think there might be one open stadium, a college one, if I'm not mistaken, but that might be it. And there's over like 200 in North America. It's absolutely ridiculous that Edmonton doesn't allow them. I'm sorry for all the people. And my nephew has a peanut allergy. Yeah. I've talked to my sister about it. She's like, well, yeah, you know, there's ways to go about it where you can have it, and everybody knows the way the wind blows,
yes,
right, in Edmonton.
Right.
So you
exactly.
can put sections that are peanut-free on certain sides of the stadium, knowing full well that they're never going to be in contact.
Agree. I do agree, but I guess it won't keep me up at night because we'll look at some of the other issues. But it's hardly a meeting that I have with the city of Edmonton where I don't bring it up, and sometimes in jest with a smile, but really, really serious. I'd love to see peanuts back at Commonwealth Stadium.
Well, I know most fans would too. And always good to talk to you. All the best in the new year.
Thank you, Jason. Likewise, happy 2015.